Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Brought to you by Extend Technologies. It's brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hi.
Kenny, hi.
I'm calling it right now, 2022, Nick Saban's final year.
Okay. Do you think a lot of people are going to debate you on it? I mean, he's in his 70s.
Well,
right?
That's why I thought it was easy to tweet, because I knew that not a lot of people would
debate. I'd say in the next 20 for sure.
Oh,
then.
He's definitely. Yeah, I'd say 20.
Okay, I said all this on the regular show, so don't start busting my ass over that. Okay, I already admitted it, so don't even start, okay? Judas Priest, Keith Britton.
But why?
No,
why
forget
now?
It. You don't deserve it.
Well, I'm curious.
Go to hell.
You felt so strongly.
You host the rest of the effing show by yourself. I'm done.
You felt so strongly about the guy that's, you know, getting up there in years, calling it quits. I want to know what changed your mind. What did you think? What age did you think he was going to go to?
I thought he'd go to 75.
Joe Pa went to when?
78.
Bowden went to?
80.
Oh, my God.
Something.
Whew. I love Jimmy Johnson in a way. Like,
oh, Bowden had to come back and get like three wins, didn't he?
Oh, that's right. You know what? Like,
did he bring the kid who held the headset for him? Yeah. Remember he had that kid. Well, how cool of a job would that be? You're like a GA and you just wear the headset
yeah,
for the head
yeah.
coach of Florida State, the legend Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Like, kudos to guys for, you know, wanting at a place that they're so integral and wanting to continue to make a difference and continue to have that stressful of a job, even though probably at that age, maybe a little less stressful. They've probably delegated a lot more, reallocated certain things within, you know, I almost said the franchise, but the program over time. But I've thought a lot as you get older. I don't know if you guys have been thinking about this, like certain quality of life things in your life and maybe mapping out the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Jimmy Johnson, I think, did it right. I aspire to be Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson had overtures made to him after he was gone, but Miami was his last job.
Jimmy the Johnson? Dolphins, yeah.
Was that his last job, Kenny? Mm-hmm. And he absolutely had people that probably threw so much money.
Oh, yeah, until probably 10 years
probably
ago.
Probably 3 years ago. Yeah, they're probably
really.
Still people.
Yeah.
And he has been living on a boat in the Keys.
Yeah.
And saying, all right, I'll just show up on Sundays for your pregame show on Fox. Throw me some millions of dollars. I've got my money working for me. I've got a huge-ass family. Like, this is the quality of life that I want. I don't need football. I don't need that identity of coach, even though that probably still is his identity. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I don't need that into my mid-70s. This is the life that is good for me. There are different philosophies on this, certainly, but isn't there something to be said for I have gotten to a certain place in life where I am respected, I have achieved, I've been at the close to the top of the mountain. I could, yeah, maybe stay and achieve more, but at the end of the day, like, I get to be around my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I get to have zero responsibility.
Where does Jimmy,
other than my family?
Where does Jimmy Johnson rank for you? Greatest coaches.
Well, the fact, too, that he got to do it in college and the NFL. That's so
big.
He'd
be on each list.
In the modern era.
Yeah, I mean, Urban Meyer took a crack at it, took a swing, because I think that stuff mattered to Urban. He didn't need to go to the NFL, but he probably said, you know what? My system's going to work. I need to prove it to myself and others, maybe others. I don't know which was more important to him. And he lasted 13 games, 12 games. Like, kudos to guys like Jimmy Johnson who and, you know, Barry Switzer. And there are other guys, you know, what's his name down in Florida? Come on, Florida head coach with the visor.
Oh, Steve Spurrier.
Steve Spurrier tried it. Lou Holtz tried it. I mean, there are plenty of guys that have tried it. Matt Rhule.
Lou Holtz was a total disaster.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think
Bobby
he lasted
Petrino.
The year. Didn't he?
Bobby Petrino, good call.
Yeah, but oh gosh.
Chip Kelly. But guys, the list, can you count on your hand the guys that have been successful in both? Like, you can't even see Cliff Kingsbury. Has he been successful in either? Like, the guys that have been successful, Jimmy Johnson, I mean, you have to give him credit. Coach K is going to wonder the rest of his life whether or not he should have taken a Lakers job, whether or not, obviously, former Louisville, names are just, Rick Pitino, names are escaping me right now. Because I didn't know we were going to do this. I've done zero prep work. Mm. Rick Pitino, John Calipari.
Well, Pitino,
like, they have tried. Yeah. It is really hard. It's so two totally different worlds. It's always going to be two totally different worlds. So after all that, I'd have to say Jimmy Johnson's right near the top. Obviously, Belichick is always going to be number one innovator. You want to talk about like the innovating the way we do things in the NFL, and maybe his way only works for him.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not so innovative. Maybe it only works for him. But Belichick will always be number one for me.
So where is Saban's, Jimmy Johnson higher at?
Saban's right up there.
And as a college coach or as a pro coach?
No, I'm just saying total football coach.
But I'm saying between the two,
which side is he higher? I'm gonna actually say pros.
Well, I'd say college.
He was so high. He was so hands on, and made that move. I think like when he made that move, the Herschel Walker trade, everybody thought he was getting hoodwinked. Everybody did. Like, here's this college guy, and he's making trades. Like Chip. I mean, Chip Kelly. Nobody thought Chip Kelly was getting hoodwinked, and he was. But with Jimmy Johnson, he made that move with Herschel Walker, and then there was the whole like, see, I didn't say I was going to keep these guys. They all became picks that commiserated with where they were taken, and so he had first round picks, and then he had the other ones. So but. You have to make those things count. And you had a guy who actually – and listen, yes, Gil Brandt was there and other people were there. That's fair. But you're scouting as an NFL head coach who's coming from college, you're scouting Emmitt Smith, you're scouting Russell Maryland, you're scouting all these great players. I mean, it's a totally different beast. And I give Jimmy Johnson a ton of credit. And I would say that I hold him in high regard in college football for what he did with Miami. I think it's hard to – I think
the
so many
collection
coaches –
collection of characters that
yeah,
you
well, I think
there.
I think it's so hard to keep a grip on that. I think it's very hard to keep – I think there's so many guys who want to be that type of guy, and they just can't. It gets out of their control. And, hey, I mean –
well, they can't even do it for their own selves to stay
– yeah.
And we to keep the promises that they made to all these
Lane
guys.
Kiffin. Yeah. Lane Kiffin. I mean, Lane Kiffin, everybody loves him at Ole Miss. And if he has a good year this year, he'll probably turn into another job. But hey, it took a lot of trial and error. Jimmy Johnson went from Oklahoma State to Miami, then to the pros. Mm-hmm. Lane left Tennessee, and it probably wouldn't have worked there. Then he got fired at USC. I mean, that's how that went.
He's working
for that
his
guy.
Way right back up,
and he is working his way back up. There was trial and error, so we'll see where Lane is. I mean, the story's not altogether told.
But Pete Carroll, T Mag brings up on Twitter. Thank you for reacting with us during the show.
Great, it's a great point.
Pete Carroll should not be forgotten at all. I mean, people obviously his New England days are forgettable. Was he with the Jets too?
I think that whole tie-in was...
What was that? Why am I thinking
it, well,
Jets?
Well, Belichick took the Jets job, and then like three days later, whatever it was, Pete Carroll was out, and he was in for the Patriots.
Yeah, okay, so you're right. That's exactly why. Pete Carroll to do it at USC, and look how hard. Boy, we just assumed USC would be easy. Ready-made, a brick-and-mortar, ready to go, right? Just turnkey operation. And it wasn't. Pete Carroll has shown that that was not as easy. That is a very distracted community, and it's easy to get lost there, and we'll see what Lincoln Riley can do. I think he'll be good, but we'll see. And then he goes to the NFL, and yeah, he had help from Russell Wilson, but to have, we thought it was a dynasty, turned out to just be a really good team for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Five years?
A top of the conference team.
No.
It's just tough to do in the NFL. The Chiefs, we'll find out how long they can stay
on top. I'll tell you this, though. What I was going to say about, I love the Pete, I'm getting a lot of Pete Carrolls here, so there are more than one person listening.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
What I was going to say about Jimmy Johnson is like, yeah, now we look back and it was perfect. Like, yeah, there was the school president wanted to fire him for crying out loud. Yeah. He wanted to quit. I mean, we've watched that in the 30 for 30s. So it's not all perfect, but you look back on the legacy is basically Sterling. I know it's not perfect, but the legacy was basically Sterling on that. What do you want to say?
Double A chimes in from the other room, and this is why he's in the other room. He chimed in with Brad Stevens.
He hasn't won a single NFL game.
Double A, what a horrendous example for so many reasons. Let me list the ways. First of all, we had clearly moved on in the podcast to talking college football. Yes, there was a snapshot.
He's behind.
Yes, but it's embarrassing that you would try to chime in with that and dictate the conversation to something that we're not talking about and something we don't really even want to talk about
now.
Why would you try to? Now he's distracted us, Double A. And that is not what we're asking the producer.
I don't know. He's about to change his pick on who's meaner. I think.
We're brought to you by Extend.
Sorry. I thought Ken would play along, and he didn't.
I don't want to keep beating up on him all the time.
Ken still, because Ken brought it up today, Ken's still upset that he was picked as the meaner.
Oh, so now now Ken's going to shy away from any combativeness.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's going to be pandering. Watching this. He's going to be walking on eggshells. That's not the Ken Carmen I want to work with.
I want to work with mean-ass Ken Carmen. I can be mean. I've been mean
totalitarian
before.
Totalitarian.
Yeah, oh,
I've been
no.
a mean individual in the past. It's happened every now and then. We had a caller, Ben in Akron, who said he wouldn't call in again because he said we were mean to him. I said, I've never heard.
Oh, no way.
I don't
remember being mean to you.
Isn't that?
He's my buddy's neighbor.
A badge of honor. Isn't that what you want?
I guess.
I mean, look at the people.
That's what they used to when guys had, when people had stones.
When men were men.
When men were men.
When sports talk show callers were callers.
You called in. You wanted to get cussed out by Ken Silverstein.
You wanted to be humiliated.
Damn it.
You wanted to be doxxed. You wanted your address given out on local
airwaves. Your social security number published.
Oh, you fool. You wanted your house cased by the Amazon worker as he drops
sluts.
Off his box. Jane, you ignorant slut.
We should do an episode of Nothing But Saturday Night Live Memories. That would be a great one.
Well, we have to save the show. The show does have to be saved at one point.
Yeah. How we would save Saturday Night Live. Have nothing but a year of old, good SNL cast members host Saturday Night Live. Okay, well, we've done that episode now. We're brought to you by Extend. So the reason the reason I think this is actually the last year for Saban is that if
you're
going to
save for SNL.
Will he be on SNL?
Mad TV's coming back.
Okay, let's discuss
what
real quick.
What a time to burst back onto the scene.
I'll make the point.
Hire Artie Lang and let's effing go, Mad TV.
Right, kids in the holler back, you never know what's
going to
happen.
Bobby Lee.
Hold on.
Let's go. Manso, what's his name? Will?
Will Sasso.
Will Sasso. I got him confused with the fact
Charles Manson.
Bring him back.
You got him confused with Will Manzio, who sends us tweets.
Yes.
Confused with a person who listens. That's nice. Well done. I'm sure Will Sasso loves that. Good for Will Manzio. I hope I'm saying that right. I think I might be Facebook friends with Will Manzio. I got to make sure. It might be Manizio now that I'm thinking about it. Let me see here. Hold on. Real quick on Saban. I just think that's it. It is Manzio. All right, Will Manzio. Yeah. Yeah. All right, anyway. Saban.
Ari Spears.
Saban. They got to bring Matt TV back right
We're
now.
Not
that
doing
is
it. I've never mentioned
right,
Saban.
Right
I can't
for
mention
the taking.
Saban.
Right for the taking. And then hire John Mulaney, and then you're good to go.
Matt TV. Just bring back in
and
color.
Neil Brennan. Put them
you
both on there.
David Allen Greer, the entire Ivory Wayans family. There's 1,000 of them right now.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, my God.
Put him on there.
Did Jamie Foxx end up being the most talented of any of these people
Maybe
in sketch comedy during that run?
Actually, I think so.
The guy
during that era, yes, absolutely. And Jamie Foxx.
And there were some unbelievably talented guys on SNL, but
James Carey was on that show. Come on.
Think of how underutilized Jamie Foxx was on that show as well.
Barrett Salee tweet said A&M has called a media availability.
Yes.
They are calling their spot. 11 a.m. Eastern. We got 30 minutes. Jimbo Fisher's responding in 30 minutes.
This is how college football gets bet. People were like, chaos, and this is ruining the sport, and transfers, new quarterback every year. You know what? This is how you bring back college football, because I don't know the NFL is going to go down that path. They're all like teammates in the NFL. All these coaches, they know each other. They're former assistants. They're all within the realm of this huge corporation that feels like of 32 different subsidiaries in the NFL. No, college, Michigan, Ohio State, rivalry. Now Texas A&M, Alabama, rivalry. This is beautiful. Okay, this might inject some life back into college football. Maybe NIL works.
I love it.
Maybe this is good. Maybe the transfer portal, although they do need to rein it in a little bit.
Well, yeah. Do I say this on the podcast or do I save it for the show?
Save it for the show.
I'll save it for the show because I think I roped you into a little bit of a trap. I think I roped you into my cocoon.
Let's go.
Now, will we see a person who suspiciously looks like Nick Saban with a mustache asking questions today at the A&M press conference?
That'd be hilarious.
Now we know we got heat.
And you know you got real heat. And Saban can do that because he has a private jet.
Yeah.
Real quick on Saban.
Okay.
It's his last season because the safety's off and because he's actually naming names. In the SEC, it's not even a gentleman's agreement. It's like a huge no-no. Like there's like gentleman's agreements like, hey, once a kid is committed to a Big Ten school, we're not going to still recruit that guy. No, that's not the – it's like a sacred blood oath in the SEC. It's about the SEC. You never call out other SEC coaches.
Sure.
Saban's willing to call out another SEC coach. I think it's just like, safety's off. I'm done with this NIL stuff. It's your guys' problem now.
It's not only that. I talked to a major Division I college basketball coach recently.
You did?
And he told me that now –
Who the hell is John Gross?
Part of the deal is in college basketball – that, and in college football, it's the same thing, is that never before have you had to re-recruit your own players.
No.
Think about that for a second. Your season comes to an end, and you have to sit down.
Did he use that line? That's a great line.
Yeah. Yeah. And your season comes to an end, and now your players who are getting poached, the good ones, are getting poached, and then the bad ones want out anyway, and you probably want them out. So you have to almost have these, it's a renewable scholarship now every year. You have to sit your guys down and explain why they should stay at the program that they're at. And you just had guys that had good years. And you have other guys at better programs that are in their ear going, come to us. And you have to do this with every player that you want to keep. Think about what the job is today as compared to what it used to be. And these guys don't like it. Obviously, they don't like it. And I know fans are rolling their eyes going, you're making money. You're making so many millions. You're going to bitch about your job. True. All of that is accurate, but it is a different job. It's a much different job. You wonder how many guys just rather go to the NBA now. Go to the NFL. Kind of stands to reason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're one of these programs that does have the NIL money and you've got that in your back pocket, how many programs have the NIL money in college football right now?
Sure, so uncomfortable.
Are there 10? Do you think there's more than 10, 15?
Football programs?
Real legitimate
programs?
NIL money. Real legitimate.
In football?
We're talking I can get one of the best quarterbacks because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a million a year at least for the quarterback.
You look at the top 10 every year and then three others who are underperforming.
Okay. Yeah, Ari Wasserman made a good point. We should clip that for tomorrow.
And I think from here on out, like Cincinnati I still think is a blip. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know Cincinnati hates that.
Fickle's
going to
be gone.
Guys,
Fickle's going to be gone. This is the last year.
Well, this is the whole that's the scary thing about this. I mean, for a school like Notre Dame, that's the scary part about the Marcus Freeman hire, is that you had two guys waiting in the wings that you could have picked.
Yeah.
That you know now one, and I hate to say it because he's my guy, but he's all family. What is that that you are showing me? Hopefully, you will send that to me as soon as possible. Please send me that. One guy's about family. They both preach family, but it seems like it's more attainable to get the guy to play the game with Vrabel than it is our guy. Maybe that's just us seeing it through rose-colored glasses. Maybe that's true. But that's scary to me because Notre Dame has very rigorous standards.
Mm-hmm.
They make a mountain of money.
Well, not when Lou Holtz was there, but I get your point.
Okay, that's true. They make a mountain of money. I think a year behind hurts them, though,
mm-hmm.
more than other schools. Like USC, doesn't it seem like USC is like, all right, we're done assing off.
Here. Yeah, we're done messing around.
And they just decided, they turn it on and turn it off whenever they want to. Because it's a private school, but they just turn it on and turn it off whenever they want to. Okay, we're tired of being the butt of everybody's jokes, let's take this seriously. And they'll take it seriously for 10 years, and Lincoln Riley will either stay in college football and do an incredible job, or he'll go to the NFL at some point, mm-hmm. and then they'll go, okay, this kind of got crazy, this went out of control, and they'll suck up the room for 10 years, and eventually some people will go, this is enough of USC football being a joke, and they're going to go pay for another guy. That's the scary thing about it. I don't know if Notre Dame can necessarily do that. USC can make up anything they want to. Notre Dame's a little bit more difficult. So if you go 3 years that aren't very good with Marcus Freeman, doesn't that put you behind an eight ball? Like, now all of a sudden, like, I know it's different because of the quarters and such, but doesn't that all of a sudden feel very David Shaw with Stanford? Because now people are going with NIL, and with the way that their calendar falls with the early signing period that happens in December now instead of February, and the transcripts aren't back yet, or the numbers aren't back yet, the grades aren't back yet, where they can't get guys who are borderline Stanford, not Stanford. They're like, he's not going to a bowl game again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's terrifying. Now, I don't know if Notre Dame's ever going to be that. I don't think it's ever going to be that. But every year, I think a year at Notre Dame means so much more than it does.
Yeah, for no, I understand.
So many public schools.
Hey, I'll give it. I'll
so much.
I'll
more.
Give it to Notre Dame, despite and what people forget, the Bob Davies era, the Tyrone Willingham era. Like, Notre Dame has not been Notre Dame for a long time, and yet their brand has stayed intact. So I got to give them credit. They've worked really hard to keep that brand. I don't know how many programs could be down that period of time. Yeah. And down. Notre Dame's down is a little different. But
they've been to two or three national championships.
True, but they were losing. They were losing to the service academies.
Right.
And they had some.
They got really ugly during Charlie Weiss.
I didn't bring up Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
And so think about it. That's three. I named you three coaches that were all down. Give me three straight Ohio. Give me two. Give me one down Ohio State coaching era in my lifetime.
John Coop. No.
Well, they
okay, it was the year. Weren't they 500 the 1 year?
And God, during Cooper, they had some of the best teams in the country. They weren't down. They weren't losing a bad team.
But he got fired when they were 6-6.
Sure, yes.
That's my
whole
point.
And then Fickell had the one bad year.
That was the down year. But Fickell didn't count. Yeah. He was interim coach.
I didn't count it either.
I
didn't count him either.
Throw me my hoodie. I'm freezing.
I didn't count that either. But I'm saying.
Yeah, I wasn't going to count Fickell.
I'm saying Tennessee, we can now give four straight coaches that have not succeeded in Tennessee. I can do this with every program except Ohio State. It's one of the few that did not have a down era.
That's why
era.
I think Ohio State fans should be so thankful.
But it's all,
I think there's so many. I mean,
it's
Michigan,
also why we take it for granted.
Michigan has never got it back. I mean, fully ever got it back. They had a great year this year.
Yeah.
No, they never did. Truly got it back. And you can say, oh, academics. It's a tough school to get into at Ohio State. There's kids who get 3.8s right now that ain't getting into Ohio State right now.
That's tough.
That's your words, not mine. Like, Michigan's never got it back fully. Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame is up and down in some cases. I mean, Notre Dame, would it surprise you if they turned in an 8-4, 7-5 season?
No.
And that's unthinkable at Ohio State. Unthinkable.
Oh, that Ryan Day be on the hot seat.
If this year,
after they lost last year and didn't make the playoff.
9-3 would put them on the hot seat.
If they lost three games this year, there'd be major talk about, all right, Luke Fickell, right down the road, let's go. Especially if Fickell has another good year with a new quarterback. And they just got how many guys drafted this year at Cincinnati? Nine draft picks at Cincinnati, and they played for the national. Well, the playoff. They got into the playoff. Ken Ryan Day would be on the hot seat. I know fans think that's so crazy. I think I hate to say it. Our job does give us the benefit of one thing. Yes, we could just gas bag and come on every day and call for coaches' jobs. I do think we have better perspective of how this stuff works at times. I think fans.
That's why I don't like calling for people's. I don't like calling for people's jobs.
Well, put it this way: if I would have told you that Baker Mayfield would be maybe would not have a shot to start in the NFL a year after he was considered a top 10 quarterback, you would think I was the biggest idiot ever. But I can tell you that stuff's always on the table with a lot of guys. And I wouldn't say Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but that's the Kyler Murray, yes. Lamar Jackson,
well,
I can tell you, yes. But fans in Baltimore couldn't dream of a world where we'd be talking about that a year later with Lamar Jackson. I think sometimes we have better perspective because we're following more teams in more years and coaches, more coaches in more years. That I could tell you right now, Stefanski and Andrew Berry, yes, there is a chance in a year we are talking about jobs. I know fans can't consider that in a million years, but that is kind of how the league works. And if you follow other teams and if you follow the history of the Browns, Jimmy Haslam, yes, it's all on the table. Everything's on the table. It is. I think our job affords us a lot of mistakes too, but it affords us to have more perspective on what can happen in a year and how much things can change in a year.
I'm not. I don't call for jobs. I don't even call for jobs of coaches I don't like personally. And I don't know Kevin Stefanski well at all personally. I mean, we might know each other by him. I'd know him by name, but I don't know if he'd even know me by name. He'd probably have to get reminded because the pandemic. I don't see him. When do I see him?
Yeah.
You're not at Berea as much.
Exactly.
As you used
I don't
to
get
be.
To see him. So before it's like, yeah, you see too much of me. Now I don't get to see the guy. So he might have to be reminded. He might know the voice, but he wouldn't know the face probably. I don't know. I got to ask somebody. But I don't want to call for his job. I think it's a scary thing to do.
No, well, it's silly.
I think it's silly.
What we're saying is if they have a bad year, that's when it's going to get obvious that the firestorm begins.
But that's
there's
because
more and more conversation.
Yeah.
But they've made such a big change at the most important position. So one game difference, right? He's a winning coach last year, right? They went 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets one of those bad games, if he gets that Green Bay game, he's 9-8. They could still not make the playoffs, but 9-8 is like, okay, well,
9-8.
9-8 was an injury. Whatever, it happens to him. They just barely missed it.
Totally right.
Which is still the same thing. And then I don't know that you're changing today and saying, well, he's on the hot seat potentially if things don't break the right way.
Valley Joe on Twitter disagreed. Now, we had an ass load of calls today about it because I said that fans are going to want him fired if they don't have Watson and they don't have a good year. You are still going to watch the games and you're still going to judge and you will do. We criticize coaches now more than ever for in-game decisions. Way more than we ever did. You would agree with that, Tone. You know it's true. So, yes, they're going to judge. And if they don't have a great year, and people are like, oh, you're crazy. Go, no, I'm not. You know damn well. Look at, I mean, Brandon Staley, God's gift to coaching, didn't make the playoffs. Mm. Now, I mean, how many more of these years can you waste with Justin Herbert on a rookie contract? Whoa, wait a minute, what? You had Anthony Lynn for a year, then you had Brandon Staley, and now we're wasting time? Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
It does. It does. So these guys are giant scapegoats anymore. They have very difficult jobs. That's where the money is. And that's why I know how difficult that job is, and I've said it a million times. That's why Hugh Jackson is constantly on the news trying to clear his name, because legacy matters. You just brought it up yourself with Freddie Kitchens, and I wanted to talk about that tomorrow. Double A, I know he's listening. He'll text it to us 10 minutes from now when he actually hears it. The Freddie Kitchens and whether or not he should have taken the job. My first reaction
was, great. I couldn't wait to do this.
Yes, he should have taken the job. When was he ever going to make that type of money again? Mm-hmm. Well, you brought it up that he's not even technically a football coach anymore. And that was, how many years ago was that with Freddie Kitchens? Four years ago?
I got a quick list. Mangini.
4 years ago.
Mangini, out of football. Chud, bounced around. Now he's an assistant at Boston College. Hugh, Grambling head coach. We don't need to go into that. Greg, out of football. Freddie Kitchens, South Carolina analyst. Mike Pettine, assistant head coach with the Vikings. So he's started his ascension again. Mike Pettine will be if things go well, I think he'll get another shot to be a head coach.
He started the initiative with the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if you saw this. I want to make sure I get the name right, so go ahead and continue, and I'll tell you what Mike
Pettine's
Tonight
at Boat Cruises. And then one more, Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur, I had as the OC of the Broncos. Someone corrected me. What is Pat Shurmur doing right now? I don't even know. Is he out of?
He's going finito. Done.
Yep.
He has the mic. It's the they set up the Vikings coaching diversity summit.
Oh.
He says, "quote The basic premise of the program is really to feed the candidate pool of the NFL from the bottom up."
I have a feeling he'll get another crack. We'll see. You just never know. Guys are in certain situations. But my whole point when I asked the question is if these guys had another shot at it, if they could go back in time, would they take the Browns head coaching job? I think we know what Hugh Jackson would say. And I'm not debating whose fault, whatever. I'm just saying these guys do have agents. And in various occupations, various workforces, different industries, when you are at a certain level, would you admit all these coaches were at some of the highest levels? They were considered some of the highest assistants. Mike Pettine when he was with the Ravens. A lot of these guys reached a certain point that other coaches will never get. I mean, Brandon Staley was a defensive coordinator at John Carroll. And at one point, I probably would assume that he thought he was going to be a low-level college coach for a long time. But then he ascended.
Yeah.
Guys don't get those opportunities.
They don't.
And these guys were at the highest. There is something to be said for you and your agent. These guys all have agents.
Mm-hmm.
Selectivity in the jobs you take in life. I sound like Colin Cowherd now, but he talks about this all the time. Colin Cowherd's had a chance to take a bunch of jobs. He talks about it all the time. And he had advisors, he had agents telling him, don't take that job, don't take that job. And I guess you'd probably say it worked out for him. Now, is the theory that Colin Cowherd could have taken any job and been just as successful? Some people think that. Some people are telling me that Freddie Kitchens had to take that job. He would have never gotten a crack at being able to do that anywhere else.
Did you ever hear Paulie Shore? Paulie Shore.
The Weasel?
Who was he on with? Paulie Shore was just on a podcast. And he was asked about his career. And it was, and he goes, I didn't listen to my agents. He goes, I was in my 20s. I'm the biggest thing going. And he was.
He was. Right. He was in movies. He was in so many movies.
I mean, if there's guys driving around with their kids right now, they don't know who Paulie Shore is. But Paulie Shore, I'm going to admit it right now. I love Paulie Shore. I still have a soft spot in my heart for Paulie Shore, man. That guy made me laugh. And I was a kid.
MTV Spring Break.
MTV. Yes, indeed. Oh. And he was making movies. And he said there was a movie he wanted to do, rewrite. I think it might have been Jury Duty.
Mm-hmm.
And his agent was like, no. Because he had signed like a deal with the movie company.
With the studio.
And he's like, yeah, the studio. And his agent's like, you don't need to do this. Don't do this movie. And he just wanted to do movie. He wanted to work. And he's just like, they're like, no, just
strike
wait.
While the iron's
don't
hot, right?
Do this movie. It's not a good movie. And he did the movie. And then all of a sudden, it just started little by little peeling. It wasn't like it bombed and then no one would touch him. It was just little by little. Then he got another not great role. Then he got another not great role. Then he's not leading. Then he's not in them. Then he's like a side character. Yeah. Then he's guest hosting on TV, or he's guesting on TV, and then he's out of TV.
Now, other people. So here's the debate that you never know the right answer to. It's always, if you could go back in time, what would you do? I've often told you that I thought about if I would have taken the internship with the Dayton Daily News at the State House, where would my career be today? Would I be at the New York Times? Or would I have been miserable and not been good at? Who knows? Paulie Shore, some people say, well, he wasn't that talented. In the end, that was he took advantage of late 80s, early 90s, comedy was different.
Paulie Shore
and they'll say he's exactly where he's supposed to be. Freddie Kitchens is exactly today where he really should be.
Son-in-Law is a good-ass movie. I don't care what anybody says. I like that movie. I know he shaved his... No, that was in the Army. Now he shaved his hair.
It's the question of the Peter Principle, which has been discussed and analyzed, and you never know. That's the thing. You never know. If Freddie Kitchens doesn't take the Browns' job, and of course you take it. I mean, maybe Freddie's the bad example. Maybe it's Hugh, who had other opportunities. Maybe it's Hugh Jackson. Maybe his agent told him, don't take the Browns' job. It's too toxic there. You're not going to win. They're going to bounce the front office out at some point. The talent's not there. They're tanking. Don't take the job. He had other teams that wanted him, didn't he? Didn't we always say the Giants?
The Giants, he was down to the final two on that one, we thought.
So, of course, we know that the Giants didn't work out for a bunch of guys, too. But let's say he takes the Giants' job.
I mean, all of those available jobs, they were all similar organizations.
What you just texted to the group is brilliant. Thank you.
I'm pretty smart.
We're going to do that tomorrow on the radio show, which is harder. Real quick question from Clyde. He's listening right now. Okay.
You stopped us in our tracks.
Real quick question from Clyde. Random question. Do you think David Shaw would be a good NFL head coach? I think he's the most underrated coach in college football. Just Coach, is it a very hard school to recruit yearly? I would say yes. I would say yes.
Yeah, but I love the role that he's at a hard school. He does win. He wins more than he loses, but not enough to do things with. So then I get to see him every national championship week on ESPN. I get to hear his thoughts on football and coaching tips and those things. So let's keep him where he is.
I'm getting Pauly Shore memes.
Good.
I like that.
Best Pauly Shore movie. Go.
Man, I really like Son-in-Law. And I like it in the Army now. People are like, oh, I liked it. Andy Dick was in the Army now. Andy Dick was a likable character. Andy Dick actually plays a lot of likable characters.
Yeah. Well.
He's just not a very likable person.
Right.
Well, yeah, he just got arrested for it. Well,
I know he just got arrested.
HBO, I still watch regular HBO, not just HBO Max. Biodome has been on there 10 times in the last
I didn't
month.
Really like Biodome. I'm sorry.
It was, well, the like Baldwin, it. I don't remember which Baldwin that is.
I was
is,
a kid, I'm sorry.
There are some things that they do in there that they don't stand up.
Lima, are you finished?
What do you mean?
You seem to be done.
No, I'm trying to think of a Pauly Shore movie. I can't. I'm really bad.
Look him up.
I'm really bad at your brain works in totally. Everybody's brain works
You've
in totally different ways.
Since this podcast, you're not remembering College Coaches.
Yeah.
You're not remembering Pauly Shore movies.
I mean, I can't think
of the big two.
What are the big two?
College Coaches and Pauly Shore movies.
Oh.
Let me look up his filmography.
Give me some IMBD. Give it to me.
Encino Man, is that a Pauly Shore movie? Or
no, I thought that was Brendan Fraser.
Slash
was
Rudy.
He Biodome?
He was Biodome.
We just did that. All right, here we go.
In the Army now.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. This is
Jury Duty.
Children. This is a TV show. This is filmography.
Godfather Part 3.
Okay, you know what? He was in Encino Man.
I just said that.
We're just repeating each other now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said he wasn't.
Said he was in there. He's the weasel. He wheezes the juice.
Casper meets Wendy.
The piano.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.